this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Daniel James, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Tony, and it's lovely to be chatting with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. We spoke a while back, didn't we, when I came over and we did a little interview on camera, which you can see on backstagetony.tv. But the news is that you've released a song, Silent Night, Oh Holy Night, which is fabulous. And guess what? It's nearly Christmas, so good timing.
Yeah, I did think about August, but I thought maybe a bit early. You know, I might get pelted with holly bushes. What I've done is I was cycling to the gym one day, and I saw on the side of this bus, Silent Night Beds. It was an advert. Mm. Obviously, there wasn't a bed on the side of the bus, although in London, nothing would surprise me these days. But I was cycling, and it made me think about Christmas. And suddenly this memory came in my head of when I was a little kid at primary school, I played Joseph in the Nativity. Now, as people might realise, Joseph had very little to do with the Nativity. So I think they must have felt sorry for me because I just stood there with a staff. So they gave me a song, O Holy Night. And I sang it. And on the night of the Nativity, the school hall was packed and it, you know, doubled as the school gym. There were ropes hanging down and whatever. But I do remember when I hit the big high note, everyone clapped.
Wow.
And it just made me feel great. And I thought, oh, this is nice. So as I say, that memory came back to me when I was cycling to the gym. And I got in the gym and it was really busy. So I went in this little empty studio, nothing in it at all. And I started to sing Silent Night and I was thinking about Holy Night. And I literally thought of this. I mean, it's not a genius idea, you know, but I melded the two songs together and found a way to do it. And I literally phoned Stuart Epps, the producer. Stuart Epps has produced Elton John, Oasis, Robbie Williams, Chris Rea. And then I told him my idea and he thought I was bats out of hell, you know. And I said, well, look, let me sing it into my phone and I'll send it over to you, which, you know, we all send WhatsApps and direct messages and stuff. So I sang it into the phone. Well, this studio had the best echo you've ever known in your life. So I sounded like Pavarotti meets Michael Bublé meets George Michael. You know, I sounded the best I've ever sounded. You know, if I could live in that room permanently. So I sent it over and he came back and he went, I mean, he's not, you know, Stuart's not effervescent with his things, but he said it's not bad. So I basically went over. And he got a guy over that he knows, a very well-known musician in the 70s and 80s called Paul Hirsch. Really great keyboard player and guitarist. He plays sessions and he plays with a lot of 70s and 80s bands now. And we sat in a room and we came up with this beautiful arrangement. And then I couldn't go back for 3 weeks because I got a throat infection or a very bad cold. My family are very ear, nose and throaty. Like in the winter, we always seem to get loads of catarrh across the sinuses and we lose our voices. Many people appreciate that. But so I didn't go back for 3 weeks and it was getting nearer and I was saying, I'm never going to get this done. Anyway, eventually got back in the studio and we did 3 or 4 takes and I think his favourite was take 3. And we actually dropped in one line because I breathed in the wrong place. But hey, you know, thank God I was breathing after the sinus infection. So we got it down and got it done. And it's really funny, but I hadn't heard it for a couple of weeks. And I started to rehearse singing it because I'm doing some gigs. And when it came on, I put the backing track on by mistake. And I looked at my PA, Carol, and I said, do you know, this is really nice. You know, I wasn't on it, but the backing track itself is absolutely lovely. And she said, yeah, it's a shame you're going to spoil it. So anyway, that's the story of Silent Night, Oh Holy Night. I've melded two classics together and I hope people like it.
Well, I think we should have a quick listen, just a little bit of it, don't you? Mm. Here we go. Daniel James, Silent Night, Oh Holy Night.
Silent Night, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Absolutely lovely, Daniel. That's very, very nice. Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you.
Very, very good.
Thank you very much.
Does that, because that brings back memories of when you were a child playing Joseph, does that send shivers down your spine when you hear it back?
Do you know what? It really, really does. And I was singing yesterday. I helped switch the Christmas lights on at Witten Fair near Twickenham. And before I went on, they had loads of school kids on. And so I'm standing at the back in this little tent and they sing. They sing the songs that I sung at school, and they were all the age that I did it. And the memories, honestly, there's nothing like hearing a kids' choir, a school kids' choir. Mm. It just, yeah, I'm sure it does for everybody that went to those kind of schools. Mm. It just brings the memories back. I mean, maybe for some people, they're not good memories, you know, but for me personally, it brings back very happy memories.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I used to get asked, because I've got a young lad who's only 25 years old now, but when he was at junior school, primary school, of course, every Christmas they had the school Christmas concerts. So I know exactly what you mean. And actually, he played Joseph once as well. There's a link. But good for Harry. And they used to, because I'm an engineer, they used to get me to record it and everything else and video it.
I wish we'd had you at my school. I'd have a record of this little boy singing, but never mind.
Talking of memories, you were of course in the band Yell in the 80s as well.
In the 90s. Come on.
No,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
I tell you what, I was going to say the 70s.
Oh dear me! Remind me never to talk to you ever again.
No problem. Good job, with friends. And also, you released this single "Set Your Spirit Free," which is what we were talking about last time, which is a fabulous track as well. But in case people don't recognise your face, which obviously they can't at the moment. Although I can, because I'm talking to you on Zoom, and you're looking fantastic. But you're also an actor. You've been in Casualty, Corrie, EastEnders, Children's BBC TV, Bad Girls, Doctors, and NBC in America as well. So, you know, you are quite well known, I suppose.
Well, I have my moments. I mean, my parents knew who I was. But... yeah, in the States, I lived in LA for a while, and I was in a series called Passions, which was a show on NBC, and I had to play a CSI, and the whole place got blew up and stuff. So that was really, and you know, it was really nice. When I arrived there, of course, it was my first American TV job, and I arrived there, and you know, when you watch TV as a member of the public, and you see a big staircase and a big set. This set was like something from, you know, like a Hollywood movie, like from Dallas or something. And I remember walking in and just literally pinching myself a little bit, because it was the first time I'd been on a soundstage in America. I'd done a movie at Shepperton when I was very, very young. There's a movie called Ragtime. You can get it on video, and it's quite funny, really, because starred James Cagney.
Oh, wow.
Now, you know, you've just been talking about the 80s. That man was a megastar in Hollywood in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Loads of big stars in it. And the guy who directed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest directed it. It was shot at Shepperton Studios. And this, when I got on the soundstage, it was a New York street. And I mean, literally, you know, with the steam pumps coming up. And then the second scene was a dockside, and they literally built a liner. And I had to run up the stairs of this ocean liner and escort this lady down the stairs. And we literally had a scene. I was dressed as a sailor, and we had a scene, and it was all, I mean, yeah, you can imagine. My mum and dad loved James Cagney and all those kind of stars. I, you know, in my lunch break, because I'm ringing my mum, and my mum's at work, and I'm ringing her home, leaving a message on the answer phone going, guess where I am? Guess who's in the scene? You know, because I was so young. And anyway, to cut long story short, we have this great scene, you know, Donald O'Connor, loads of big stars from Hollywood. And when the movie comes out, they've cut the scene. Basically, there's no dialogue of me. And do you remember Benny Hill?
Of course.
When he used to have the little bald man, and somebody would chase him around a field, and the music would speed up and it'd go, you know, and he'd chase him around. Well, they changed my scene, removed all the dialogue, and you see me escorting the lady down and talking to her, but it's done to that Benny Hill music. So if anybody gets Ragtime the movie out, I was going to say from Blockbusters, but that, you know, that's another 80s thing. If you download the movie or you see it on Amazon or on Netflix or something, there's a 30-second scene now of me escorting this lady downstairs to the Benny Hill music. So you can imagine that my first American movie reduced to a Benny Hill moment.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, at least you did one. You've got an album coming out next year in 2024, haven't you? Tell me about that.
Well, I'm putting together, because, you know, since the end of lockdown, I've been releasing these singles and they're building up. So, you know, a couple of people said to me, have you got an album? Have you got an album? Nobody's asked me. The last time someone asked me if I had an album was my mum with photographs in it, you know? So it's nice for people to say, you know, have you got an album? You know, the Yell album is out. They've just re-released Yell's album, and it's called Let's Go. You can get it on Secret Records, and it's got loads of great tracks on it. So my solo album hopefully will join that.
All right, okay. Is Instant Replay on the Yell album?
Instant Replay, Let's Go Around Again. One thing leads to another, plus some 12-inch mixes, plus there's a ballad called Do You Know What You Do To Me, which I wrote, Give Me a Little More Time, which was inspired by the Bee Gees, and Surrender, three ballads, and a really nice song called I Get the Feeling, which is quite rocky. The only track that's not on there is the B-side to Instant Replay. We got when we were signed to Fanfare Records, when we were Yell, Simon Cowell ran the label, and they were a bit tight-fisted, and we needed a B-side. And in those days, when you released a record, you had an A and a B-side, unlike today where you just download something. But you got the same money for the A-side as the B-side. Well, we hadn't written Instant Replay. Of course, it was legendary Dan Hartman.
Yeah.
So I wanted to write the B-side. So I came up with this idea of a song called Poison Arrow, and they gave us 500 quid. So we basically knocked the demo up at home. We went to Berwick Street Studios in London, Soho, and we could only afford to pay for time from midnight to 6 a.m. It's called downtime in the studio, when the big names aren't in there.
Yeah.
And basically, we wrung out every penny of the £500 because we had to do a whole record from midnight to 6 a.m. and mix it and do backing vocals and put all the music on. And that's the only track that's not on the album. But it's not bad for what it is. It's very, you know, very 80s, you know. I'll send it to you. You might want to play it on your show sometime.
Well, yes, absolutely. You must. What a great story as well. And that's probably
why. You can imagine Simon Cowell. You know, everyone imagines Simon Cowell sitting there, you know, hello, darling, with the boots on and the high-waisted trousers and the suntan. And everyone associates Simon with millions of dollars, millions of pounds. And all you could scrump up, bless him, was 500 quid to get the B-side done, you know.
Even Simon Cowell has to start somewhere, I suppose. You are one of the busiest artists that I've ever interviewed. I mean, you're always doing something. What have you got in the future lined up? Because I'm sure, apart from the album in 2024, you must have some ideas about what's coming next. What are you going to do next?
Well, I've tiptoed into live performances. And as I say, yesterday I was switching the lights on at Witten. I've got Ashington coming up. I'm doing the Christmas lights and singing Silent Night, Oh Holy Night. I've got Newcastle, the Grand Hotel. I'm doing a charity gig for Hearts and Goals of the Northeast. And it's a lady whose son died suddenly, and she's had this charity going for some years. for defibrillators, for more to be placed. So I'm singing at that charity, and then I'm back at Cookham in Maidenhead, then I'm going to Belfast. So basically December is chock full of me and I'm saying tippy-toeing back into live performances, because I haven't sung live for decades. So, you know, you've got to start somewhere. If it goes well and I don't get pelted with too many mince pies, then I'm going to hope that next year I can go and do some live performances of several songs, you know, maybe go on those Rewind tours, those Butlins tours, you know, all the 80s and 90s artists go out on these big mega road shows. People have mentioned it to me, but I've been genuinely a little bit tentative, because, you know, when you've not sung for years, we're human beings, you know, you lose your confidence. So these gigs, these Christmas light switches on, and the gigs I'm doing, the charity gigs, are just to get me back in. And as I say, yesterday kind of went okay. I didn't get pelted with any old mince pies. So fingers crossed, next year, some live gigs. And I've also been working on a new single for the spring, which is very different to Silent Night, Oh Holy Night. It's very up-tempo, and it's called Promises, Promises. So fingers crossed, Promises, Promises gets finished.
Okay. Well, I said you were busy, and you just confirmed all that. anyway, Daniel, thanks very much for talking to me. Good luck with Silent Night, Oh Holy Night, which is available everywhere now to download, of course. Your website is thedanieljames.com, and everything's on there as well. It's a good website. We'll put that with the text that goes with this episode of Music Stories. And thanks again for talking to me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And people can vote for the song on the Heritage Chart as well, www.heritagechart.co.uk. I'm in the chart at the moment, and I'd love to climb into the top five for Christmas week. So if people would give me their vote or download the track, that would be great. Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Brilliant. Thanks again. Cheers.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.